So welcome everyone. It's a lovely to see a big group of you here today. We'll start our masterclass now. So welcome to the Great Managers Masterclass on dealing with defensiveness. This is a very popular topic. And what I'm going to show you today in the masterclass will help you understand defensiveness and where it comes from. And it'll also give you some strategies to minimize defensiveness in yourself and others. So I'm basically covering three things today. We're going to start with what is defensiveness and where does it come from so that we can understand it a little bit more. And then how to recognize defensiveness in yourself and others. I'm pretty sure we can recognize it in others pretty well, but it's also important to be able to recognize the signs in ourselves and some powerful tips and strategies to deal with defensiveness in an effective way. I'm going to talk with you today about what you must do as well as what not to do. So let's start with some definitions about defensiveness. I think we all know what it is, but let's just get clear. Our first definition is that it's a position or attitude of defense or resistance. And it's also been defined as being excessively concerned with guarding against the real or imagined threat of criticism, injury to one's ego, or exposure of one's shortcomings. So we need to be able to recognize the signs. So understanding the mechanics of the mind and how the brain works is really critical to learning how to manage yourself and develop new behaviors for dealing with defensiveness. So let's have a look at seven different examples. And I want you to think about these as we go through and think about which one of these relate to me and which one of these have I seen or which ones of these have I seen in others as well. So our first behavior is rationalizing. And this is explaining, defending, making excuses. So with this pattern, you might find yourself saying, yes, but an awful lot. So someone might make a comment and you'll say, yes, but, and then you'll explain why you have to do things the way you do or explain why the other person is wrong. And you feel that you have to justify your behavior and act as though questions or comments are attacks on you. And if someone expresses a feeling, and for example, someone might say to you, oh, I'm really just disappointed that you can't come to the lunch. Well, you end up getting upset with them and then explaining again the reasons why you can't go to the lunch rather than just knowing that this person's saying we're going to miss you. Our second behavior in defensiveness is blaming. So with blaming, you shift the focus from yourself by making the other person or other people the reason for your behavior or the way you feel. So for example, if you didn't get to work on time, it's because someone didn't wake you up, or you just missed the bus and the insensitive bus driver didn't stop when he saw you. It's always someone else's fault with this pattern. Our third pattern is attack and counterattack. So you might complain about a problem that you're having to someone, and when they give you some insight into your part in the problem, you attack or judge the person. You say, oh, you know, you feel indignant. You feel wounded or misunderstood by the suggestion that you might play a role in your own problems. And you might accuse them of being mean and insensitive, or you counterattack by drawing their attention to something that they're struggling with and how ineffective they're being. Our fourth pattern is the need to be right, and this is a biggie. This is the need to be right or the need to make others wrong. This is characterized by a tendency to see why it won't work or point out flaws, and this can take a few different forms. It can be an oppositional style, which is characterized by stubbornness, sarcasm, cynicism. You know, the one, like it's almost like, oh yeah, as if that'll work, that sort of thing. It can be a controlling, authoritarian style where it can only be done one way. It has to be done this way. It has to be done my way, actually. Or it can be a competitive style, which is what we call a win-lose mindset, where you need to beat the other person, you know, you need to get one up on the other person or to be better than the other person. So getting better at dealing with defensiveness is an inside job. You'll never handle defensiveness in others well if you can't handle your own defensiveness or notice when that self-protective system is firing up. So self-awareness must come first. This is all from strategy one, that very important skill of self-awareness. You must tune in to yourself and be able to read the signs. So what you're doing then is you're working on shifting from the automatic self-protective behaviors and you're strengthening your self-actualizing system. This requires that you develop your observing self. It's like you're watching yourself. So you start by asking yourself, what am I feeling? And labeling the feeling. This is important. This is a part of self-management. And if you can't do this immediately, you might need to notice what behavior you are doing or contemplating doing. Are you shutting down emotionally or are you winding up emotionally? So it's important to notice and label the feeling because this will help quieten down the amygdala, the emotional brain, if you can label that feeling. And the next thing to do is tune into your body. So notice with the observing self, what's happening in your body? Is your breathing shallow? Is your heart pounding? Are your muscles tense? Because the first sign of defensiveness might be an emotion or it might be a bodily sensation. It might be like a jolt of energy where you feel the protectiveness click in. Now, there will be thinking going on behind this, but it's normally not conscious. And to regain control, you need to make your thinking conscious. This is what self-management is all about and self-regulation. The only way you can change your thinking is by making it conscious. And that emotion of curiosity that, that's interesting, what's happening there, that fires up the higher order, clever part of the brain called the prefrontal cortex. So that emotion, we're using that emotion to guide thinking. Curiosity is a very valuable emotion. So self-awareness and self-management is our first strategy. And these two skills will strengthen you. They'll make you more resilient and more robust. And people who are emotionally robust are less defensive. These two skills will allow you to manage your emotional tone or your state. And if you can keep your emotions in a positive register, you're more likely to influence the other person in that direction. So remember, behavior breeds behavior. And what I'd like for you as great managers is to lead rather than follow someone else's poor emotional tone. And that's really key here, that you can hold your state and not follow someone else's poor emotional tone. So the next strategy is the way you communicate. And open, responsive communication is the key. Now, what your communication does, it actually helps you move toward defensive people, not away from them, which proves that you're interested in improving the situation. You're not running from fear or fighting back in that primitive way, because our natural inclination is actually to move away from defensive people. We're repelled by defensive people. But if you can hold your state and move towards them, this communication will help. Because moving away often compounds the situation. Now remember, strategy 3 has got everything you need for all those communication skills to do this really well. But the most important communication skill for dampening down defensiveness is to stop and listen. Take both the words and emotional content into account. Every now and then, summarize what you're hearing to make sure you understand what the other person is saying and to make sure the other person knows that you're really listening, you're very present. Because keep in mind that defensive people usually are active.